We continue reading the Gospel of Matthew. We come today to Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. We'll read to the end of the chapter. It's really one of the high points of the Gospel of Matthew. The synoptic Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all begin with Jesus' great Galilean ministry. Many of his miracles, the parables, many of his public preaching takes place. He's gathering the new Israel in himself, the Messiah. And then the turning point of that, the culmination, is this event in Matthew 16, after which he heads to Jerusalem to take up the cross. And here Jesus gathers his disciples and he takes them away on a retreat, as it were, and they go to Caesarea Philippi. That was a Gentile city famous for its idols, very visible idols. He's going to challenge them to profess faith. I think it's noteworthy that Christian faith is professed in the presence of the idols of the world. And the question, that great evangelistic question, is asked them. Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" That's the question every one of us must face, and different answers are given. But it's Simon Peter who says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah, and you are God's Son." That is the answer that yields eternal life. And what's fascinating is Jesus does not respond by saying, "You know, Simon, you're really better than the others. You really have achieved something." He actually says, "You have not." It's very important what he says. I tell you, this is verse 17, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." This wasn't natural reasoning. This wasn't your virtue. It's my Father in heaven who's revealed it to you. It's a supernatural revelation by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Faith comes by hearing, but we're born again. God reveals himself to us. Now he goes on and says, "You are Peter." He changes his name. This is where he goes from Simon to Peter. And Peter means rock. Petros is the Greek word there. "On this rock I will build my church." Now, based on this verse, verse 18, the Roman Catholic Church and some others argue that the authority passes from Christ to Peter, and of course from Peter to the succession of bishops and popes. But there's a big problem with that. Namely, the word for Petros is not the same as the word for rock that he uses. He says, "You are Petros, and on this Petra I will build my church." The Petra is the bedrock. You have the rock and the bedrock. What's the bedrock of which he's a representative? It's faith in Jesus. It's faith in the gospel. It's belief that he is the Son of God and the Savior. And on that basis, Jesus says these great words. What a great promise. "I will build my church." My friends, through the word of God, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the reigning Christ is bringing believers. And whatever happens in the world, the great thing happening is he is building his church one believer at a time. He says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against us." Notice that that's an offensive statement, not a defensive statement. He does not say the church will prevail against the gates of hell. He says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The witness of the gospel will save those otherwise destined for hell. They will be redeemed, people like you and me. And it's very interesting, a few verses later, Jesus mentions that he's going to bear the cross. And the same Peter who gave the great confession says, "Oh, no, no, Lord, you can't take the cross." And it's very fascinating what Jesus says. He rebukes him. He says, he compares him to Satan. "Get thee behind me, Satan, for you have your mind on the things of earth, not on God." Here's the question. If Peter is now the sole source of authority, why is he being compared to Satan? You see, it's Peter as he believes. It's Peter as he believes. And by the way, it says here that Peter is given the keys of the kingdom. Elsewhere, the Bible, New Testament, says all the apostles are given the keys of the kingdom. The New Testament says that passes on to the elders of the church. What are the keys of the kingdom? Well, the steward kept the keys, and he opened the door. And it is the work of the apostles, and it's passed to the elders of the church, to receive persons into the membership of the church and the Lord's table. That's why when you join the church, you meet with the elders, and you make profession of faith, because the keys of the kingdom, the keys of admitting persons into the house, the visible church, have been given to the elders. Well, the final verses of this chapter, I'm sure, are emblazoned in the heart of every seasoned believer. These words we cannot forget. Jesus says, "Whoever follows me must take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Well, I'll stop. Let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would lose his life will save it, but whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom." The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.